Good morning. All right, we're going to get started. So, just so you guys know, this is my second time preaching in front of the congregation, and sorry, I'm going to have to figure out, I walk a lot. So if I walk a lot, I'm sorry. That's just how I process things and how I talk. So some of you may be dizzy by the end, and I'm so sorry. But as you guys learned last week through Ephesians, sorry, let me get set up here. If I can find it, I should know this. Ephesians 4, where it talks about be completely humble, gentle, patient, and bearing with one another in love. I ask that you guys can be with me today as I preach and I speak to you guys. And today we're going to be talking about something that I feel like the Lord has put on my heart this week. And he's been taking me through it, and I'm really excited to share that with you guys. And before we do that, I'm just going to pray for us, and then we'll get started. Sound good? All right. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you so much for this this community, Lord, this body of believers. I pray that as we leave here today, we can know that we all play a part, Lord, in your body, and that your Holy Spirit is in us, and that you have called us to reflect you to the world. So we love you so much. Be with me, calm my nerves, and may I just speak your words today. Love you so much. Amen. So we're going to be preaching, continuing the text. In Ephesians 4, and we're going to be going through verses 7 through 16. It's kind of long, so bear with me a little bit, but we'll take it. We'll split it up into three different parts, and if you would like to follow along on the screen or in your Bibles, we're going to be starting 7 through 10, which is, "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe." And the thing that I want to talk about from this part of the text is in the beginning, "But to each one of us, grace has been given." And I'm going to walk through a little bit of where this grace comes from, why it's important, and why does it play into the rest of the sermon today. And this starts all the way in the beginning in Genesis. And it starts with creation. So God, as you guys know, created the world, created the heavens, the earth, birds of the air, not the sea, fish of the sea. and he did all these things, and he saw that it was good. Thank you. Sorry, I talk like that with my youth to make sure they're like following along. So if I do that, just know that's why I do it. And then he made man and woman, and he saw that it was very good. There you go. There you go. Right? Because we were created in his image. And Adam and Eve, they walked amongst the garden. They were in there. They had this perfect relationship, as I like to imagine it, with God, because they were righteous. They were without sin. They were the image that we are supposed to be, God's image, without sin and without fault. And they had this perfect relationship with him. They had this amazing place where there's called the Garden of Eden, which I honestly think is close to what heaven's going to be like, just walking with the Lord and being with him. And just sounds like a very awesome place that I would love to visit one day. But as you guys know, that's chapter 1 and 2, and then Chapter 3 comes along, and that's where we have the fall of man. That's where sin enters the world. That's where temptation comes, and we fall into it. And then that perfect relationship that we have with God is cut. And we are no longer to be completely in his presence like Adam and Eve, because we have sin in our lives. And the rest of the Old Testament, we're kind of doing a big like loop over the book right now. And the rest of the Old Testament is God trying to figure out a way where we can be in his presence once again, to have that, to be like how he created us to be, our purpose. And throughout the Old Testament, if you guys read through it, there's a lot of things that happen. There's a lot of ways that God provides us to be in his presence. That's where we get like sacrifices and all that stuff. But in all, God knows that an ultimate sacrifice is needed for us to be able to have our sins forgiven and be able to be in his presence. And the way that I see this is, it's kind of like if you imagine the sun, right? Super bright, powerful. I feel like stars are brighter than it, but still, if you imagine the sun, and then you have, the sun, not like Jesus the sun, sorry. And you imagine like a rocket ship trying to come towards that. What's going to happen to that rocket ship? What do you guys think? It's going to explode, right? Those two cannot exist together because this one's so powerful and so hot that this is going to explode. And that's how we or like to imagine the presence of God. He is so holy, he is so righteous, he is so pure that anything that has any darkness in it cannot even come close to it. And because sin is in our lives, because we're born into a world of sin, we are unable to be in his presence before Jesus came. So God provides a way. There's an ultimate sacrifice that was needed so that we can be in his presence. And that's where this grace, if you're following along in the sermon notes, this grace has been given. And we see that in John 3:16. Do you guys know it? Anyone just want to shout it out? God so loved the world. Yeah, God so loved, let's read it together. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So God saw that there is a need for us. There's a sacrifice that was needed so that we can once again be in his presence. And because he loved us so much, he sent his one and only son to die for us on the cross. And 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, I'll just turn around and read that, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians 5:19 through 21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. And Ephesians 2, 4 through 5 and 8 through 10 says, all of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts, like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And verses 8 through 10 says, for it is by
grace
that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. I love that it says it's not a gift of God, it is the gift of God. God gave his son so that we can be once again in his presence, which I think is such a beautiful, beautiful thing and a beautiful image of how much he loves us, that he was willing to give up his son so that we can be in his presence once again. And not only do we receive this grace when we believe and we follow, but God also leaves with us his spirit, right? Point number two, his spirit has been given. In Ephesians 1, 13 through 4, sorry, yes, Ephesians 1, 13 through 4, it says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you were marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Sorry. What that's saying is not only did he just come, die for us, but he's saying he is always with us, right? When we accept him into our hearts, it's almost like a seed is being planted, and that's the Holy Spirit. And as we begin to chase after him, and as we begin to understand and ask questions and seek him and seek his truth, the Holy Spirit becomes more and more and more alive in us to the point where it not only is in us, but it's being shown to the world around us. John 14, 15 through 17, I'm going to turn to it so I don't turn around, but it says, we don't have that one? Oh, no. Okay, well then I'm going to, sorry. We do have it, sweet. Verses 15, it says, if you love me and keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. This is the Spirit of the truth, the Holy Spirit. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will in you. Later on in that verse, it talks about, is there another slide for that one? Yes. In verse 26, it says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So not only is this a symbol of our token of inheritance into the kingdom of God, but the Holy Spirit is alive in us. It's working. It's not just something that we have and then we just kind of let it be forever, but it's something that we communicate with. It's God's presence in us. Like Adam and Eve in the garden, they walked amongst him. And that's the Spirit in us is God's presence being with us, and we can walk with him. We can speak through him to the we speak to him through the Holy Spirit. And not only is it God's presence with us, but it's Him teaching us. The Spirit works in us. It shows us what's right and what's wrong. You know, a little voice when you're about to say something you know you shouldn't say or do something you shouldn't do. It's the Holy Spirit at work in us. And at the same time, it's the same thing that as we're reading our Bibles and all of a sudden something clicks. You're like, wow, this is exactly what I needed. This is exactly what I needed to hear today or what I was worried about, or this just brought me that overwhelming peace. That is the Holy Spirit that is alive and at work in us. And like I said, when we are, this is something I'm encouraging our kids this summer, our students this summer, is to spend time with the Lord. And when we do that, when we're reading each day, it doesn't have to be anything crazy, but teaching them a chapter a day is something I do as well. That Spirit that's within us becomes more and more alive. When we're praying for others, when we're praying for the church, the Spirit in us begins to grow more and more and more, and we begin to be more in tune with it and walking in it. So the point that I'm trying to make here is it's alive, it's a work in us, but also it's not just alive in us as individuals, it's alive in us as the body of Christ, right? As the body of believers, the Anchor Church, lowercase c, capital church, capital C church, the church worldwide. It's alive. It's what brings us together and what allows us to reflect the body of Christ, which is our next verse in Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. Is that the next one? Let's see if I'm right. Yes. Okay. Following my notes well. Here we go. But it says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for what? Works of service. So that the body of Christ may be? Awesome. You guys are doing great. Until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Can you guys read this last sentence for me? Wow, that was a long one. You guys did really good on that one. But yeah, so Christ gave the church people to help build it up, to help it reach this unity in the knowledge of Christ. And what that's saying is he sent people to come and teach about the things that we just talked about, that he came here, that there's the ultimate sacrifice that was needed, that he sent his son for that, that Jesus walked among the earth, that he died on the cross, and that when he died on the cross, he said, I choose you. And then he dies, and then is buried, and 3 days later, by the power of God, he is risen. And when doing that, he defeated death, he defeated sin, he defeated the things that are holding on to you, whatever is going on. He defeated all of that, and when he arose, he also provided new life in us, which is how we're able to be with God, right? So we're unable to be with him, and now we're able to be with him because of Christ's death and his new life that we have in him. And when we understand that as one, and I know there's so many different topics out there as you read through the Bible that cause controversy or that just have different interpretations, but the thing that we stand on is that Christ died for us and that made us be able to have a relationship with him. When we stand on that truth as one body, we'll begin to reflect the fullness of Christ, which is that next verse at the end there, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. What that means is we, as one body, should be reflecting Christ, right? So if we continue on, it says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there. It might be at the end. I might be switching it up on you, Al. I'm sorry. Ephesians 14 through 16. Might need to skip like 3 or 4. It's okay. I'll just read it. Then you will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. When we understand when we believe what we stand on, we stand firm in that of what Christ has done for us. We won't be tossed back and forth by the different interpretations or anything out there that may lead us astray. But instead, we have this? Sweet. But instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. And from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, and it builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So I want you guys to remember is that we are part of this body. And Christ is the head, and we're supposed to reflect him. And when we each day are waking up and we're saying, God, however you want to use me today, I want to do that. Give me your, one thing that I encourage our students to pray is, give me your eyes to see, give me your voice to speak, give me your ears to listen, and give me your hands and your feet to go out and to do what you've called me to do today. And I think, and I truly believe that if we do that each and every day in our lives as individuals, things are going to be happening, right? Because the Spirit that's inside of us, when we're saying, okay, whatever you want to do, Lord, here's my life, when we actually step up and pray that prayer, I guarantee you at some point during that week or whatever, however long you do it, something or someone's going to come up where you have the chance to be a light in a situation. You have a chance to share Christ with someone. You have a chance to pray for someone. You have a chance to share your story about how in times of difficulty, when you would pray and you would lean on Christ, that he brought you peace and he brought you joy in suffering, and whatever Christ has done for us and what he's done through others, like, God will give us a chance to do that. And that's us going out and being the body, right? Because if we're going to be attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, and Christ is the head and we are his body, what are some of the things, this may be a stretch, but what are some of the things that Christ did throughout the Gospels? Who did he go out to? The sick, the lost, the outcast, the ones who are hurting, the ones who that society has kind of kicked to the side and said, you're not worthy. No, but he came so that every single person would know that they are worthy, that they are loved, and they are deserving of the forgiveness of their sins. Because he wants every single one of us. If doesn't matter how much money you make, doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter what size your house is, if you don't have a house at all, like, God sees each and every one of us as his children, and he wants us to be in his presence with him, because each and every one of us were created by him, right? Not some of us, not only select handful, but every single person was created by him, and in his eyes, they are his child, right? And if he is the head and we are his body, he's calling us to go and to reach those, to pray for people, to speak out and to share our stories about what he's done for us. But one important point I want to make today is that you do not have to be an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, or a teacher to equip the body for works of service, right? If we are the body, maybe everyone here enlisted in this and with these kind of gifts are the mouth, but a body with just a mouth would be kind of weird, right? It needs to have legs, it needs to have hands, it needs to have ears to listen, it needs to have all these different aspects of it, and each one of us plays a huge part in that, right? You may not seem like it, but it's a huge part, right? In Romans 12, sorry, Al, if this is, we can get that one. Might need to go back a little bit. Romans 12, yes, perfect. Says, for each of us, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though many, though there's a lot of us, little KC, capital KC, church, we do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Is that where that one stops? Yes. So each and every one of us plays a part. And if you go down a little more, it should say, what's the next verse? Yes. Paul continues and says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then? In according with your faith. That if it is serving, then?
Serve.
If it is teaching, then?
Teach.
If it is to encourage, then give.
Encourage.
If it is giving, then give.
Diligent.
And if it is to lead, then do it.
Diligent.
And if it is to show mercy, do it.
Diligent.
So there's so many different gifts. I myself and my kids can attest to this. My gift is not singing. I'm not the greatest. Like, I'm so thankful that Micah is in our youth group because we'd be lost. And there's been times where she's had to do stuff and I've had to lead, and Haley and Blake back there can probably agree that it was, yeah, there is grace needed from the entire youth group. So I can play the cajon, but I cannot sing. It is, I don't know what it is. I'm just terrible. But that is one area in the church where, or that a part of the body that I know that God has not called me to, right? God has called me to love youth and to step into their lives and be relational with them and show them how to follow Christ and show them the gifts that He's given them and, that I've seen in them and to encourage them and to grow them. That is part of my gifting that God has called me to, and I'm so thankful that He's done that. And each and every one of you has a gifting that God has called you to help grow the church. And some of you, that may be in your jobs. You may be in a place where you may not like your job and you may hate going each and every day, but if maybe God has you there for a reason. Or maybe God's calling you to a different place. I don't know. But what I want to say is that wherever you are, God has a purpose for you to be there, for helping out this particular body, stacking chairs. If you have a heart like, oh, I wake up early, I can get here an hour early and help put chairs up, Rick and Lori would love you a lot, and you would bring them joy, and you would help give them a little more strength when they're worshiping and when they're preaching. And if you're gifted just to set up the table in the back with the cookies and the coffee and the hot chocolate, just know that you are bringing so much joy to each and every one of us because you allow us to be awake as we come in to receive the Lord. So we thank you for that, all those who do that. If it is announcements, keep doing announcements. But also, if it's to pray for people, if you have a gift where you can walk into a room and you can sense somebody's hurting and you have that gifting to be able to say, or to kind of walk through that awkward barrier, because sometimes it's just super awkward to pray for random people. But if you in your heart have a heart for praying for people, that's your part of the body. Because if we're just a body who goes out and teaches and preaches, but we don't have people who step aside and bring the ones who are really hurting and don't want to share it with the entire group but need prayer, that's a part of the body that is much needed. If it is to, some of us just have the gift of joy. One of my roommates, his name's Ridge. I wish he was here to hear this. But everywhere he goes, any room that he steps into, it changes the entire atmosphere of that room. It could be a super dark moment, but if he walks in, his smile and his joy that he has just radiating through him, it changes the room. And maybe that's a part of your gifting. So that each and every one of us has different gifts, and we are all a part of this body. Maybe some of you, some giftings may be things that you've been given, that you've been blessed with. Maybe it's opening up your home. Maybe it's driving kids to youth. Maybe it's in whatever it may be, inviting someone from your work to come and to break bread together and fellowship with each other. There's a huge part. I think there's a reason why Jesus breaks bread a lot with people, because it creates moments of fellowship and connecting and good talks and all that kind of stuff. And I think we should do that as a body as well together. But continuing on, we all play a particular role. And one thing that I want you guys to remember is that being unified as a body does not mean uniformity. I think I have that. Yes, unity does not mean uniformity. So if you see somebody in the church, you're like, man, they're a huge part of our church. I need to be like them and do what they're doing. Maybe you're not supposed to, and what you feel called to is going to benefit the church just as well. Does that make sense? I think if we are all hands, we'd be a weird body, right? Each and every one of us makes up a piece of the body, and we're all to be used. And so we're going to continue. We're going to finish with Ephesians 4, the last part, 14 through 16. Do we have that up? Yes. Then we will no longer, I already finished this part, but okay, so since we already went through this, my bad. The thing that I want to point out is that in speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. If you read throughout the Gospels, if you read throughout this, even this two portions of Scripture, portion of Scripture from 7 to 16, God is not calling us to sit, right? He's not calling us to receive and then do nothing, right? I don't think he's called us to do that. I don't think He died on a cross for us so that we can just come to church on a Sunday and be excited, check off the box, and then Monday through Saturday, we're doing nothing to live that out. You know what I mean? Christ has called us to go and to do. Verse 12, to equip his people for works of, you guys remember if it's not up there? Service. I heard it. Good job. equip his people for works of service. And speaking the truth, right? That's an action. From him in the head. Every supporting ligament grows. It builds itself up in love as each part does its. And there's some verses that I want to leave with you. One is Acts 1:8. Verse 8, we have that? Yes. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, right? What's he saying there? He's saying you will be my people, and you're to share this story to everyone around the world, right? Next one is 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 20. Have that there? Perfect. You're killing it, Al. Good job. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That to me sounds like he's giving us a job to do, right? Sweet. Reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. The gospel, what we just talked about, reconciling us back into the relationship with God, that is our job to go and to teach and to do. And if you look at Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, you guys know what this is? You guys know what it is? The Great Commission, right? Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, and make of all nations them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them. Great job. To obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. As a body, we are to reflect Christ. He is the head. We are his body. Each and every one of us has a purpose, a gifting of how to build that body up, how to bring younger people up or those who don't know who God is and teach them the gospel, baptizing them, and that he will always be with us. But he's calling us to go. He's calling us to do. He's not calling us to sit. So what I want to leave you with this week, and this is our final thing if the band wants to come up, is that God is at work. The Holy Spirit is in each and every one of us. And I want you guys this week to think about how is the Holy Spirit working in my life? Am I truly open to allowing God to work in my life? Right, be praying, God, what do you want? Do I need to, whatever it may be, whatever God's put on your heart, if there's something there right now in your head, that's probably what he's calling you to do. But be praying, God, however you want to use me this week, I want to do it. And I think our church would grow so much. And I'm not talking about numbers, but I'm talking about just the understanding, standing firm in our faith, if we truly... each week, like as a body, we're praying for the next week or 6 months or a year, and each day saying, God, give me your eyes. Give me your voice. Give me your ears to hear. Give me your hands and your feet and allow me to be your body to those around me. And I'm open to whatever you want to do with me today. So my challenge for you this week is to do that this week. See how it goes. And then if you want, do it for the next 6 months, then do it for a year. You never know what'll happen. And whatever comes to mind, if God's putting on your heart to do something, do it, right? Because God calls us to do. Sweet. I didn't know if you guys were going to get that. So good job. You guys learned something. I did something good. Okay. But let me pray for us and then we will, continue in worship. So dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you so much for this community, Lord, and this body of believers. I ask that you can be with each and every one of us this week as we come and as we pray, asking, Lord, you to use us. And I pray that you can be in each and every one of our hearts and speaking to us right now about are we truly letting you live our lives, Lord? Are we living for ourselves? Or are we living for you to be a part of the body and to go and to make disciples and to baptize them and to teach them your ways, Lord, and to show them what you provide, Lord? That you reconcile us back into relationship with you, that you love us, that you have grace for us, that you have forgiven us, that you desire to give us your peace and your grace and your mercy and your joy, Lord. So I pray that you can put people in the lives of this community this week and challenge them, Lord, and that we can hear about those stories next week and whenever it is in small groups, whatever it is, Lord, that we can encourage each other and build each other up to reflect you to the world in this community. So we love you so much. Amen.